Here's Andy Udman.
8 minutes now after 10 o'clock on this Thursday morning. A lot of breaking news this morning, which we're watching carefully. I want to talk about organic foods this hour. Have you made up your mind about organic foods? What's the first thought that comes into your mind when I say organic foods? Is it the price? Is it the quality? Is it the fact that some of your friends are bugging you about the importance of not eating foods that have been exposed to chemicals, pesticides? What are your thoughts about organic foods? We're going to try to set the record straight in that regard in just a couple of moments. But so I want to bring into the conversation an American and ask him, first of all, about being an American. Actually, we brought him onto the program to talk about organic foods. But because of the situation that America is in this morning, I just want to ask him first about this political situation. Professor Charles Benbrook is a scientist, and that's why we have him on the program this morning to talk about organic foods, the myths, the stereotypes, the misperceptions. Professor Benbrook, appreciate you joining us this morning.
My pleasure, Andy.
Where are you this morning, Charles?
I'm in northeast Oregon on the west coast of the United States.
Just a brief word, if we could, before we get to the subject of organic foods, about this dramatic situation that the United States is involved in this morning in Libya.
Oh, well, you know, it's just a little after 7 this morning, so I haven't picked up the morning news feed like you have, but certainly a tragic day yesterday, and, you know, so ironic, you know, given the contribution that America made to liberating that country and actually saving Benghazi from being, you know, obliterated by the Gaddafi forces. It's a terrible, sad day for the world.
Okay, let's flip the page, Professor. Wanted to talk to you about organic food. What would be the first phrase that should pop into people's mind? Just give me a 6-second phrase that should pop into people's minds when it comes to organic foods.
It's farming, you know, with nature and natural cycles, and not relying on chemicals and energy-intensive input.
I know you're going to teach us a lot in the next few minutes, but I wondered, I thought maybe you might be interested in how Canadians feel about organic foods, and so we want to bring into the conversation Ted Sedant, who is the president of Fieldgate Organics up in Exeter, just north of London. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, Andy.
With this American professor listening, I wonder if you can just give him a snapshot of how the people of southwestern Ontario and Canadians generally, what would be the first phrase that comes into their mind, do you think, when it comes to organic foods?
Consumers are looking for a safer, healthier product. And it doesn't matter organic or whatever. They're just looking for safer, healthier food right across the board.
And it's one thing for you, Ted, to say those words, but it's quite another to describe your company, which has reacted to those words and set up a very successful business there in Exeter. You're called Fieldgate Organics. The name says it all. Tell us about the growth and where you are as a company at this stage.
Okay, real quickly, we started 9 years ago with 12 farmers. The company's basically owned by 42 shareholders, primarily farmers, organic farmers. We started local with our London market, London Covent Garden Market store there, and now we go to about 55 locations in Ontario and another 60 in Montreal, and we actually just started with Atlantic Canada about a week ago with 85 more stores. We purchase beef primarily through Ontario and Manitoba. All our pork comes from Ontario, and our chicken primarily comes also from Ontario.
Professor, is that applause I hear from your corner?
Well, sure. There's certainly a lot of demand out there for safer and more nutritious animal products, and sounds like this is one of the emerging companies that's meeting that demand.
Professor, part of the reason that I wanted to call you, and I know that Ted will be very interested to hear this, is this very recent study in the last couple of weeks, a study by Stanford University researchers made international headlines when it claimed that organic foods are no more safe or nutritious than conventional foods. Organic researchers, farmers, and advocacy groups immediately recognized the study as woefully flawed and alleged underlying political motivations. First of all, Professor, what did the study suggest?
It found no evidence in peer-reviewed literature that consuming organic food conferred on people a term they used, clinically significant improvements in health, akin to where you've got a cold coming on or maybe you're beginning to deal with type 2 diabetes and you think that by switching to organic food that your health problems are going to go away. They didn't find evidence of that in the literature.
Let me just ask you, Ted, when you heard about that study a couple of weeks ago, your jaw must have dropped.
Well, it did, and it just helps create that confusion over, for consumers and what to eat. And we weren't too happy about it, but a lot of the organic people, they're realizing that they're as organic keeps growing, and our sales growth is about 20% to 30% a year. So as we get the organic gets to be a bigger target, you're going to find more, companies trying to break that down.
Professor, here's the real reason we called you. Are organic foods, for which we all pay more than non-organic foods, are they more nutritious, yes or no? And are they safer, yes or no, Professor?
Beginning with nutrition, the most sophisticated study of the differences was actually carried out by scientists at the University of Newcastle in the UK, and they concluded that there's a 12 to 16% increase in the what they call nutrient density, or it's the level of nutrients in organic food compared to conventional food. Now, nutritionists and physicians like those at Stanford, the Stanford Medical School, have been arguing for many years whether a 12 to 16% increase in nutrients is important or clinically significant. Certainly across the population of a large country, a 15% increase in nutrients is going to improve health outcomes for many, many people. So I think there is a modest but important nutritional benefit from producing food organically. In terms of the safer question, the Stanford study is seriously flawed, and the statistics that they used grossly underestimated the benefits from organic farming. Organic farmers can't use antibiotics to treat infectious diseases in cattle, so they just simply do not contribute to this huge body and growing problem with antibiotic-resistant bacteria that actually start out on the farm and find a variety of ways to spread and into the human population. And much was made of the pesticide findings. I've studied pesticide data and risk for 30 years, and the Stanford team claimed only a 30% difference when, in fact, organic food lowers your typical pesticide risk by 10 to 15-fold compared to conventional food. So they just missed a lot of information because it didn't. A lot of the current data, and in particular the government data on pesticide risk, doesn't show up in the peer-reviewed literature.
So let me boil that down to one phrase. You're saying that when it comes to nutrition for organic foods, you're 12 to 16% more nutrition. But when it comes to being safer, it's 1,500%. 1,000 to 1,500% safer.
Yeah. I mean, it's many, many times safer, and in fact, essentially eliminates the contribution of agriculture to exposure to pesticides that can cause birth defects and trigger chronic disease later in life. And clearly, organic livestock agriculture is one of the major solutions to the problem with the steady flow of new antibiotic-resistant bacteria. There's no question about that in the literature, and yet the Stanford team was very conservative or tepid in speaking about those well-proven benefits.
Okay, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to ask Ted Sudant at Fieldgate Organics if he's happy with those numbers. Organic foods, 12 to 16% more nutrition, but 1,500% safer. Back in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. And the lines are always open, 643-1290, if you have a question or comment about organic foods. We're in conversation with Ted Sudant, the president of Fieldgate Organics up in Exeter, with a store here in London, and many other stores across Ontario and Quebec, and Professor Charles Benbrook, an American scientist who has just given us some very, very interesting numbers, suggesting that when it comes to nutrition, organic foods are more nutritious, 12 to 16%, but it's particularly in the area of safety where they are dramatically safer. And would you say, Charles, it certainly is in my book, when I think of buying organic foods, I never really even thought about whether the nutrition level was different in organic foods. I assumed it was somewhat better. But my goodness, those figures about being safer and free from pesticides and so on, especially as someone with some new grandchildren, that's a primary concern, is it, with most Americans?
Oh, I think so. And clearly, most shoppers initially begin to seek out organic food to try to reduce their exposures or their children's exposures to pesticides and animal drugs. But as they become more familiar with the category, one of the things that keeps bringing them back is the taste. And there's actually a direct correlation between some of the nutrients that we want to get more in our fruits and vegetables to stay healthy, and the kind of unique and rich flavors that we long for in a nice ripe tomato or carrot or watermelon.
Ted, what's the number one comment you get from your customers who buy organic products? Is it about the cost? Is it about the flavor? Is it about the safety? What is it?
Actually, it's kind of funny what Charles just had said there. A lot of our customers, especially the ones that are in the 45 and plus range, we primarily sell meat, and they'll come back and say, you know, I haven't tasted meat like that since I was a kid. And it's just that we've really just gone back on the process and, you know, got rid of the chemicals and everything in the there. Now, the other big advantage is the environment isn't receiving the chemicals and everything in the fields and the streams also. And as for pricing, yes, there's always some comments. Not so much a complaint as much as they wish it would be a little cheaper, so it could be more affordable, and they would even buy more.
Ted, let me just jump in. We only have a couple of moments left, and I really want to address this subject with Professor Benbrook, and you just mentioned it about Walkerton, Ontario, a situation where we had a terrible water contamination issue in which people literally died, and I know some of the families involved whose children were left with very serious health issues. Runoff from the farm, factory farm manure, Charles, in the next minute, can you describe your thoughts on that threat?
Well, when you put thousands or tens of thousands, and in the case of chickens, hundreds of thousands of animals on one farm or in a concentrated area, and the way it works in the States and Canada are similar, where you won't just have one large animal farm, you'll have several in an area. What happens is you just overwhelm the capacity of a local community and the environment in and around that community to absorb all the manure. And it's not just manure, it's dead animals and offal and other things. And you just unfortunately create kind of a pathogen soup that finds its way into the creeks and streams and water systems, and I'm sure the municipalities up there are doing everything they can to try to keep the water as safe as possible, but it's just becomes an impossible task, particularly during storm events and times when the overall system is overwhelmed by the amount of water flowing through. So if we're going to concentrate our animals like we are, and it really, as a matter of fact, it doesn't matter whether they're being raised conventionally or organically. If you put too many organic animals in the same place, you're going to create a lot of the same.
So let me bounce it over to Ted. Ted, where are the pigs and the cattle that you get your organic meat from? How do you avoid this issue?
Actually, there's regulations within the organic raising of livestock that you cannot use large feedlots. So they're chickens and turkeys and everything on the poultry side have much more space per square foot than conventional. So, and most of our farmers, our biggest farmer probably would be in around 1,000, 1,200 acres, and we have farmers as small as 250. And in the conventional world, these farms would not even be considered small farms hardly anymore.
Ted, let me just ask a quick question of Charles before we let him go, Professor Charles Benbrook. Charles, 1 minute on what people should consider when they're making that choice between organic and non-organic foods.
Well, they should consider whether they've, you know, anyone in their family is thinking about having babies or raising young children, because it's during pregnancy and in the first few years of a child's life when exposure to pesticides and other chemicals in food can have the most significant and lifelong damage. And then should also think about both the welfare and the health of the animals on farms, and as well as the broader environment.
And Ted, at Organic Field Gate, a parting message for people who are making that decision about organic or non-organic.
I think the important thing is for a consumer to understand what organic really is and all the different spots, and they can come to our store or find out literature on the internet through the Organic Council. There's ways to understand why, you know, they're paying the extra and what organic really is, because it is really a very gray area. It's a very confusing to a lot of consumers.
Well, Professor Benbrook certainly gave me a couple of figures to take away. 12 to 16% more nutritious and 1,500% safer. What is the difference in price, Ted, for a good steak that is organic?
It varies a little bit depending in the area and what the stores are marking it, but I would say probably about double.
Okay, so for steak, it's literally double the cost.
Pretty close.
Professor, double the cost for a good steak that's organic, is it worth it?
Well, that's up to individual choice. The price differential is not nearly that high down here in the States, and it's actually quite modest for another number of food groups. For example, leafy greens and milk.
This is all the things that
reached a scale where organic farmers are tapping into a lot of the same efficiencies that the conventional food system is. So the price premium at whatever point it's at now in your area, it will come down as the industry grows and matures.
Well, that's great information you've given us this half hour. Professor Charles Benbrook, an American scientist who has studied this subject for years. Professor, I can't thank you enough. We appreciate it, and all the best as your country deals with this world crisis. We appreciate you joining us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. And Ted Sudant with Fieldgate Organics, we thank you for your time this morning. 10:30 News update. When we come back, I just want to piggyback this segment on organic foods with local foods. And, of course, not all local foods are organic, but what's so special about your food being grown locally? We'll talk about that in just a moment. Phone lines are open, 643-1290, back in just a moment, right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. Okay, if you just joined us, in our last half hour, we had a very interesting discussion about organic foods. And we had on the show Ted Sudant, the president of Fieldgate Organics, which has enjoyed enormous popularity across Ontario and Quebec, based in Exeter, just north of London, with a store here in London. People are willing to pay as much as double for a good steak if it is grown organically. And we talked to Professor Charles Benbrook from the United States, who has researched this subject for years. And here's a couple of figures that he gave us as a takeaway from that discussion, that organic foods are 12 to 16% more nutritious and 1,500%, up to 1,000 to 1,500%, 10 to 15-fold safer. And that, of course, is the key element, which is why people are prepared to pay so much more for organic foods. Now, hand in hand with this issue is this push for locally grown foods. And that has suddenly caught on. You're hearing phrases like the 100-mile diet, and people are willing to pay more for produce which is grown locally. for whatever reason. I want to bring into the conversation about the both issues, both the organic foods and locally grown foods, a farmer who is growing exactly that, not only organic foods, but locally grown foods. His name is Joe Grotenboer. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Good morning, Andy. I'm good.
Good. Joe, wanted to check with you. You have been producing both locally grown and organic foods and been selling them at places like the market outside Masonville Mall and various other farm markets in the area. Let me ask you, when people are considering buying organic foods, what are the thoughts that are going through their minds on the issue of, first of all, organic, but secondly, the issue of locally grown?
Well, I think a big part of what goes through their mind is at a place like a farmer's market, they're just happy to meet the farmer. Whether he's selling organic or not, they're able to learn from him where he's at, what's happening on his farm, and what his practices are. So that face time is very important. For organic, it depends on the customer. A lot of people come at it for different reasons, some simply for taste, some because of their concerns about the whole food processing and production industry, the safety of their food, like you mentioned. It's a lot of things, and some people are dedicated to it almost as far as you can be. Some of them, it's a preference or a luxury. You know, there's as many different angles. But, yeah, we do get good attention, and whether you're selling organic or not, every farmer there faces that question, is this organic?
Reg wants to jump in with a comment. Reg, organic foods, what are your thoughts?
Well, Andy, I'm still not totally convinced. However, I do like to support the local economy as much as possible. So I have bought some organic foods, and the best one I ever had was some really good kielbasa from a place in St. Thomas.
So when you think of organic, Reg, what's the phrase that comes to mind? What's the adjective? Why do you consider buying organic?
Well, for one thing, it's locally grown, you know, for the most part. And I guess I do have some positive thoughts about it, but on the other hand, what about all the pollution in the air and all the pesticides that are in the air from some of the farms? So how can it really be chemical-free?
Well, it's a very interesting question, because I don't know if you heard our professor in the last half hour, but he was saying organic food is 12 to 16% more nutritious, but on the area of safety, it's 10 to 15-fold. And he said, especially if you're raising children and especially expectant mothers, he wouldn't consider anything else but organic foods because of the potential health issues that food that's been treated with pesticides can cause. Reg, I appreciate the call. Any question for Joe, who's an organic and locally produced a farmer?
Well, okay, how many studies have actually been done by scientists and chemists to really, prove this?
Joe, I'm sure you've done some of the research. What is the research, or is there enough research in your mind that fully convinces you that organic food, for example, like the food you grow, is much safer than what you would get from a factory farm, for example?
Well, there's a lot of studies. Your previous guest had done what's called a meta study. So I think he had a number over 200 studies. But I don't so much rely on those studies as partly my own common sense, but even more so the customers. The customers, in most cases, are more educated than the farmers are. And they come up to us. They come up to me all the time, and they're educating me every day. They read this stuff, and it doesn't come from one source. It comes from scientists and universities. It comes from governments. It comes from everywhere. And so I think it's just so much there that it's not really my job to educate people. I'm just responding to the need that's out there.
Well, especially with the internet, it is so easy now to do some of this research. Now, we're riding two horses here. One is organic. One is locally produced. What is the stronger sentiment on which issue, Joe?
I think evidence is that the local is the most important, and your other guest is right about that. And that stands to reason, because often when you're tapping into local farmers, the farmers in any given area that try to present a local face are usually the smaller farmers. And whether they're organic or not, smaller farmers tend to take on characteristics that are part of organic, whether they're getting certified at it or not, or whether they're going by the book or not. It's inherent, because they don't have the capital to get the equipment, the sprays, and all those things on the one hand. So it takes money to farm big, and we little guys don't have that. And when you're farming small, you're going to tend to do organic things, whether that's your creed or not.
643-1290, folks, if you want to weigh in this conversation on locally produced and organic. Joe, part of the reason my wife and I have enjoyed going to St. Jacob's Market all these years is you see, in many cases, a Mennonite farmer right there with his buggy and with his kids loading up these bushels of potatoes and tomatoes. And it just this feeling that it's locally grown, it's obviously locally grown, and that it's organic, and that it's safer, and that it's better, and it's more nutritious. And if you see the crowds that go to St. Jacob's, obviously a lot of people feel that way. Joe, what do you sense here in the London area, the Chatham area, where you are, is happening with respect to what people are demanding, especially from their produce, but also their meats?
Well, again, it's different people, but there's a number of documentaries and studies out there that are really starting to worry about that. And, you know, most of these problems, actually, they come in the food, in the supply chain. And that whole organization, what happens to your food between the farm and you is also a big worry to people. So farmers markets, you've cut out all those things. And that's what people are looking for. Now, it's not at all everybody. You know, there's a lot of people that have other worries and don't think about it at all, and they're in the supermarkets in the normal way of doing things. But there's a growing trend towards dealing directly with the farmer, for sure.
Oh, and I know you're having a dinner this weekend. I want to ask you about that in just a moment. First of all, Tony has a comment. Go ahead, Tony.
I'm just wondering when GMO foods enters this discussion.
Very good question, Joe. GMO foods, some of the studies suggesting they're absolutely frightening. You got books out there, so many of them, like Wheat Belly, pointing to how, because wheat has been so dramatically altered, that's why we have so many health issues relating to gluten. What about it, Joe?
Well, I think it's just what you said. There's a big question mark there. What are the effects of these things, which are very new? And they're across the continent now. And, yeah, people are worried. What's the latest on it? The latest is there's not that many limitations on them.
And you can't even find it on the label, sadly enough. You don't know what's genetically modified or not.
No, we organic ones are the ones that have to do labeling.
Yeah, isn't
that... Can we follow up with this with an expert on GMO to add to this?
Well, I think that's an excellent suggestion, Tony, and we will do that. I want to do a segment on that very shortly. We're almost out of time. Joe, I want to ask you, you've got and I've seen a number of these, local producers like yourself, the little guy fighting against the big guy. You have a dinner happening this weekend, which I was intrigued by. Tell us about it.
Well, yeah, let me say first, it's not the little guy against the big guy. We have large farmers. This is an all-across farmer, conventional, organic. It's just everybody here in Chatham-Kent wanting to showcase what we have. And it's exciting. We as farmers, there's about 10 of us, have gotten a chance to work together. And we're hosting Lynn O'Grislow, who wrote Ontario Table, a really great cookbook, travel book, food book about Ontario produce. And we're putting out 10 tastings that will form a wonderful dinner. We got a long table down in our old glass greenhouse, and tickets are all sold out, and everybody's coming Saturday, and it's going to be a lot of fun, I think.
Think local, think organic. Joe, appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Okay, appreciate it. Short break when we come back.